What's up, world? I'm Cameron McKinney, and this is Pop Culture Spotlight, a podcast about the movie Roadhouse. Here's a quick synopsis. Former UFC fighter Elwood Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida roadhouse. What he doesn't know is there are dangerous people who want to close it down. The film stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, Daniela Melchior, Billy Magnussen, Jessica Williams, and Lucas Gage. Standout performances. One of Jake Gyllenhaal's biggest strengths as an actor is his ability to sell a movie as its lead, and he's always shown it, even in the beginning of his career with The Day After Tomorrow. It's the movie of his I've seen the most, and he's fully committed to the ridiculous premise, and at this point in his career, he's gone back to those kind of performances, with Antoine Fuqua's The Guilty, Michael Bay's Ambulance, and now Doug Liman's Roadhouse. All of these movies rest on the shoulders of Gyllenhaal as a leading man. The first half of Roadhouse had me wondering why Gyllenhaal wanted to play the role of Dalton, but then I saw the last half of the film where Jake was having the time of his life and he really went for it, which is something he really likes to do. I mean, his commitment, while it might not be as effective, is on the level of his performances in Prisoners, Nightcrawler, and Okja. My only interest in this remake of Roadhouse was to see Gyllenhaal's performance, and he did not disappoint. It's not a career pinnacle by any stretch, but for me, his performance worked. Gyllenhaal's next movie is with writer-director Guy Ritchie and co-stars Henry Cavill and Isa Gonzalez. While promoting Roadhouse, Gyllenhaal did tell Screen Rant that he was willing to play Batman in a future film. We all know that James Gunn is revamping Batman, and that Andy Muschietti is going to direct that said Batman film. Do I want Jake Gyllenhaal to be Batman? 15 years ago, I would have said yes. I don't need Jake Gyllenhaal to play a superhero anymore. We got to see him in a Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. He was an excellent villain as Mysterio. I don't need more Batman. I just want to focus on Robert Pattinson's Batman. I don't want to diss Gyllenhaal, but I think franchises that are working in modern times are the ones that are led by young actors. Dune has Timothy Chalamet. The Batman has Robert Pattinson. The Spider-Man movies have Tom Holland. The next Gladiator film is going to be led by Paul Mescal. I think it is the time for young actors to be the lead of franchises, and people like Jake Gyllenhaal should make movies like Roadhouse and make Oscar-y movies. That's what Jake Gyllenhaal should be trying to do. Try to win that Oscar. It's something that he hasn't done yet in his career. He's only been nominated one time, and it was almost 20 years ago for Brokeback Mountain. I think Jake Gyllenhaal should be in that stage of his career where he's either making fun one-off movies like Roadhouse or trying to win Oscars. I don't want Jake Gyllenhaal to lead a franchise film. He tried to do that once with Prince of Persia. It didn't work out for him. The most talked about performance from Roadhouse comes from UFC fighter Conor McGregor, and there have been real debates about this performance. Some are calling it the best one in the movie. Others are saying it's bad. Here's where I'm at. As the big bad in Roadhouse, he's a lot of fun. It's a wild, bonkers performance that I enjoyed, and it worked for me because of what he was giving it in. He was giving it in a Roadhouse remake, like I wasn't expecting a great villain performance here. He was clearly chosen to be an agent of chaos in Roadhouse, and that's exactly what he delivered. He was a complete and utter agent of chaos in the movie Roadhouse. Mission successful. I personally thought Daniela Melchior gave the best performance in James Gunn's The Suicide Squad, and now she's in Roadhouse as Ellie, and I still find her really compelling, though I wish she was given more to do. I'm interested where her career goes from here. Someone needs to give her a leading role. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is making an Amazon show, Tomb Raider. Daniela Melchior should definitely be on the top of that list to be the next Lara Croft. The director of Roadhouse is none other than Doug Liman, the man who directed Swingers, The Bourne Identity, and The Edge of Tomorrow, three films that are universally loved. Even if you don't don't always like his movies, they are always interesting. There are things I like about Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Jumper, but they are flawed films. One of the things I like about Lyman is the slick style he brings to every project he's involved in. He directed the pilot of The O.C., which is one of the best television pilots you'll ever see. While his Roadhouse isn't a masterpiece, I think he did all he could to make it entertaining. Lyman knows what to do with movie stars Vince Vaughn, Matt Damon, Tom Cruise, and now Jake Gyllenhaal. Lyman's next movies include The Instigator, starring Matt Damon, Casey Affleck, Hong Chau, Paul Walter Hauser, Michael Stuhlbarg, Ving Rhames, and Alfred Molina, and Everest, starring Ewan McGregor and Juno Temple. The producer of this remake of Roadhouse and the old Roadhouse is Joel Silver, who is best known for producing action movies Die Hard 1 and 2 and the first three Matrix films, and buddy cops films 48 Hours, all the Lethal Weapon movies, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and The Nice Guy. You have to give it to him. He's been a part of a lot of entertaining movies. And if you were going to compare Silver to another modern producer, it would definitely be Jerry Bruckheimer. Like, these guys just make action movies that people want to see. They make popcorn movies, and I think that is an art form that isn't always properly celebrated. The man produced Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. I mean, how many movies in the 21st century can compete with Die Hard and Lethal Weapon? I know those are just fun movies that you put on all of the time, but those are two of the most well-regarded films, period, not just action movies. And this man was responsible for them in some form or fashion as the producer of them. And man, has the movies he produced turned out major movie stars. I mean, Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson, Die Hard with Bruce Willis, The Matrix with Keanu Reeves, Eddie Murphy with 48 Hours. And I recently rewatched Die Hard with a Vengeance in the first Lethal Weapon movie, and man, I just gotta say it, I love movie stars mixed with action. I love everything about it. We need to bring that back. And one thing I noticed when watching these movies is that Mel Gibson was young when they made Lethal Weapon. Bruce Willis was young when they made Die Hard. Do you know what we're missing in modern movies? Young action stars. All of the action stars are older. We have Tom Cruise. We have Liam Neeson. We have Keanu Reeves. All three of them are terrific at what they're doing, but they are not what they used to be. We need to produce major movie stars that can star in action films. And I know what most people are going to say to that, that the Marvel movies have replaced that, that every young actor, instead of starring in the modern version of Die Hard, are making a Marvel movie. And that's a fair point. The Chris Evanses of the world aren't starring in action movies. They are starring in Marvel movies instead. Chris Pratt and Chris Pine are perfect examples of that. Instead of starring in their own versions of Indiana Jones, they're starring in Jurassic Worlds and the Guardians of the Galaxies and Pine with his Star Trek and Wonder Woman instead of getting their own action franchises. But the thing about these movies in the past, the Die Hards and the Lethal Weapons, is the actors themselves became bigger than the movies. Mel Gibson was the biggest actor on planet Earth at one point. Bruce Willis was the biggest actor on planet Earth at one point, and it's because of those movies that they became bigger than the movies themselves. We talk about it all the time. The problem with Marvel movies is the superhero and the movie itself is always bigger than the actor. That's not the case with Lethal Weapon. That wasn't the case with the Die Hard films. I wanted to bring up the name Joel Silver on this podcast, not just because he produced Roadhouse, but because he produced major movie stars, which Hollywood really isn't doing right now in the action genre. As you're all aware, Roadhouse is a remake of a film from the 1980s. When it comes to movie remakes, I believe the hardest films to remake are the ones remaking a film or show from the 80s, because those movies and shows are so of that time, and it's hard to recreate. There's been a lot of remakes of 80s films that have failed in my lifetime. 2010's The A-Team, 2011's Arthur. Also in 2011 was a remake of Conan the Barbarian, 2014's RoboCop, and 2015's Vacation. And then there are some films that are close, if not as good as the original, 2007's Hairspray, 2011's Footloose, and 2015's 21 Jump Street. And that's where I would put Roadhouse. It's on equal footing as the original, and anyone who says otherwise is just being nostalgic, which is fair. I get it. If you grew up loving the original Roadhouse and Patrick Swayze's performance in that, then this version of Roadhouse might not be for you. But I will say this, we as a society have to understand that everything we've loved in the past are going to get remakes, are going to get sequels, and I believe having strong emotions towards that is a waste of time. They're not going to stop. I hear all the chatter about the new Ghostbusters movie out. The movie's a hit. Nobody cares that you don't like it. They're going to continue to make Ghostbuster movies as long as you will watch them. I'm sure enough people will watch this remake of Roadhouse to justify its existence to Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, one of the big storylines surrounding this movie, Roadhouse, has been director Doug Liman's frustration with Roadhouse being on Amazon Prime instead of in movie theaters. It's impossible to say whether or not Roadhouse would have made money in theaters, but I find it hard to imagine it would have been an undeniable hit. I mean, if it were in movie theaters right now, it would be going up against that Sydney Sweeney horror film and Kung Fu Panda 4, and quite frankly, those are movies that more people are interested in than Roadhouse. And being the third option in movie theaters is not what you want to be in the year 2024. I believe only two movies can make money at a time in movie theaters anymore. This isn't 1989 anymore. There can't be five profitable movies in theaters all at once. And it's been a long time since Jake Gyllenhaal has been the lead of a hit movie. I mean, you kind of have to go all the way back to Nightcrawler. Having him be the lead does not make a movie a guaranteed hit. Having said all that, would this version of Roadhouse be great to see in front of a wide audience? Absolutely, you would want to see this movie with a lot of people. The problem is getting a lot of people to go to the movie theaters to see this movie. I just don't think it would have happened at the rate it would have needed to make this a profitable film for Amazon. But if Doug Liman was lied to, then of course I'm on the side of Doug Liman. I'm not going to agree with the corporation lying to the director of a movie, but I do think that this is the best case scenario for the movie Roadhouse. People are talking about the film Roadhouse. People have strong opinions about the movie Roadhouse. There is an online talk about the movie itself, and we don't have to talk about box office success or failure. I sometimes think it's easier to talk about movies when the box office isn't involved whatsoever. It becomes more about the movie. So now that it's not in movie theaters, all we're talking about is the movie itself, which is what we should be talking about all the time anyway. I'm sure part of why Doug Liman is upset is because Amazon put the movie Air into movie theaters. I mean, these streamers are picking and choosing what movies go to movie theaters and what ones don't. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of logic behind the choices that they are making. Apple is putting all of their movies in movie theaters. They put Argylle in movie theaters, they put Napoleon in movie theaters, and they made a profit somewhat, and they have justified going to movie theaters. What Amazon's problem is, the picking and choosing is going to upset a lot of people, and clearly it has upset Doug Liman. I really hope his Apple movie, The Instigators with Matt Damon, makes it into movie theaters, or oh man, is this guy going to lose his mind. He will never work with a streaming service again if Apple doesn't release this movie in movie theaters. Every year at the Oscars, the host will ultimately make a joke about how long the movies that are nominated are. You heard it this year with Jimmy Kimmel. He made fun of of the length of Killers of the Flower Moon. That's a 4-hour movie. That is a long movie. But that is a movie, in my opinion, that deserved its runtime by how good it was. It had something to say. The problem I had with Roadhouse is that this movie is wicked long and doesn't really have anything to say. And the plot is way too simple for the movie to be that long. And it's not some great character arc. Like I said, Jake Gyllenhaal really goes crazy during the second half of the movie, but the first half of the movie isn't all that insightful. With all the craziness in this movie, Roadhouse to me is a perfect example of a movie that should have been 90 minutes in and out. It's so zany, it's so bonkers, you just should have experienced it, and then it should have been over within 90 minutes. But because it's 2 hours, it lingers on and on and on. These are the type of movies where people should be questioning the runtime of them. Not masterpieces like Killers of the Flower Moon or Oppenheimer. Those movies deserve to be really long. Roadhouse does not deserve that honor. It is a good movie that is way too long. And I probably would like it even more if it were 90 minutes in and out. Here's this insane, crazy premise. Go for this wild ride and then have it be instantly over. That's what this movie needed for me to think it was close to perfect. And it wasn't that because it was too long. It was dragging. How a movie is supposed to justify its runtime is to have a drastic shift in the plot. Like Oppenheimer, for instance. We all talk about some people don't like the third hour of Oppenheimer, they like the first hour of Oppenheimer. Do you know what that tells me? That you can tell the difference between the first hour of Oppenheimer and the third hour of Oppenheimer. Roadhouse, there is no distinction between hour one and hour two. This should have been a really quick 90-minute movie with a fun Jake Gyllenhaal performance, a wild Conor McGregor performance. The movie could not sustain its momentum for the full 2 hours. That's its biggest problem. And I don't like to be that guy. I don't like to be, oh, cut this movie down. But this is a movie that clearly should have been shorter. Again, the perfect runtime for a modern remake of Roadhouse is 90 minutes. Because at some point, you get it. You get the gist of the movie. And at that point, it kind of needs to end. And this movie just would not end when you wanted it to. One of the things I liked about Roadhouse is it's a movie that clearly everyone involved in is self-aware. They know what it is. Jake Gyllenhaal knew what he signed up for. He signed up for a remake of Roadhouse, and he delivered on that. I'm probably the last person to answer the question, was he as good as Patrick Swayze was in the original? Because I'm more of a Jake Gyllenhaal fan than I am a Patrick Swayze fan. So how I see this playing out is younger people like me are going to prefer the Jake Gyllenhaal version of Roadhouse, and the people who've loved the original Roadhouse the whole time are going to prefer the original Roadhouse film. That's why these conversations about these remakes can be really annoying, because you just go around in circles. No one is ever going to change their mind. If you believe the original Roadhouse is a masterpiece, you're not going to also think that this remake is a masterpiece. In fact, I don't see many people liking both films. It feels as though most people are deciding which one you have to like. Like, you have to choose a side. Do you prefer Jake Gyllenhaal's Roadhouse or Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse? Personally, I think both movies are okay. They're good. They're fine for what they are. I'm glad they both exist, and that's the end of it. I don't have strong opinions either way, like some people seem to have about the original Roadhouse, which has a reputation as a good, bad movie. But buckle up, everyone, because these remakes aren't going away. They're doing another Karate Kid movie with Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan. It's only going to get worse. The people who love these originals are going to come out in the dozens to defend the originals as masterpieces. And the younger people are going to connect with the newer films, because that's what people do. They connect connect to the movies that they watch when they are kids. If you want to act like these remakes don't exist, that's fine. Just ignore them. You don't have to watch them. You don't have to watch this remake of Roadhouse. The only reason I did is, again, because of Jake Gyllenhaal. I wanted to see why Jake Gyllenhaal wanted to remake Roadhouse at all. And he really did bring what he does best to this movie, which is a wild thing to say out loud. Like, if you've seen the films of Jake Gyllenhaal, you will agree with me that this film weirdly fits in with his other movies. And after Roadhouse, Jake Gyllenhaal will never again be accused of being a subtle performer. That's not him. He is just full in. His commitment level is at 11 out of 10. The last thing I'll say about Roadhouse and Jake Gyllenhaal is I just find it so interesting that he now wants to be a movie star. Like, this is a guy who clearly wants to be a leading man. He wants to be a star. After Prince of Persia's failure, he kind of went away from that, but now he is fully embracing movie stardom. He's in the Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. He was in The Guilty. He was in Ambulance. This is a guy who's working with Michael Bay, Doug Liman, Guy Ritchie, and Antoine Fuqua. He clearly wants to be a movie star who stars in popcorn movies that everyone loves. And that is not something I thought Jake Gyllenhaal wanted 10 years ago, but here we are. Thanks for listening to this edition of Pop Culture Spotlight. I'm Cameron McKinney, and there'll be a new episode of the podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I highly recommend you check out the movie Roadhouse. Next week on the podcast, I'm talking about The Beekeeper starring Jason Statham. So tune into that, and please rate, review, and subscribe.